Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
Marriage. It's a word that evokes really strong feelings. Same-sex couples are fighting desperately to have it. Millennials, on the other hand, are questioning whether it's even necessary. There is, however, a natural longing to be connected to another person, to feel loved, to feel safe, to feel secure. And this is what many of us seek in marriage. But we also are afraid that we have to give up who we are to get it, and that even if we do that, it probably will end in divorce anyway. Despite the often reported statistic of a 50% divorce rate, 90% of young people still say they want to be married. Reality shows like The Bachelor and Bachelorette, Say Yes to the Dress, Bridezilla, and this newest one, Married at First Sight, play on this desire. The wedding industry has become a multi-billion dollar phenomenon. That's billion with a B. But it's what happens after the wedding day that truly, truly matters. And unfortunately, this is where very little is ever discussed. If you just go on to Huffington Post, for example, you'll see a column, Huffington Post Love, Huffington Post Weddings, Huffington Post Divorce. But there's nothing in that middle ground between wedding and divorce to talk about the unique relationship that is marriage. I recently answered a request for expert input into a magazine article on how much we should talk about our marriages with our friends. And my opinion is we should all be talking about marriage with our friends. But what most of us talk about isn't the marriage itself, but about how our spouses are not meeting our expectations. We don't talk about parenting this way. When we get together with other parents to talk about what they're running into, it's how did you get your child to sleep? Or what are the teenage years like? Or, you know, what's the best way of potty training? We don't talk about how annoying our children are that they don't do this or that in the way that we want. So is it any wonder that many people have a love, hate, or worse, fear, desire relationship to marriage? Joining me today to talk about a new way of looking at marriage is David Steele. He's a recovering marriage and family therapist. He's a founder of Relationship Coaching Institute and author of Radical Marriage, Your Relationship as Your Greatest Adventure. So, David, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Leslie. Thanks so much for having me.
So, I called you a recovering marriage and family therapist, and really I need to explain that, because what you are is now you're a relationship coach. So can, and you founded the Institute. So can you talk a little bit about the difference between a relationship coach and a traditional therapist?
Oh, yeah, sure. A therapist is trained to diagnose and treat emotional, mental, psychological disorders. I mean, you know, that's what we do. Although
right.
A lot of us, when we go into becoming a therapist, like a marriage and family therapist, a social worker, a psychologist, a counselor, licensed professional counselor, you know, we're more really interested in personal growth. We're more interested in helping people be happy and successful. And, you know, we don't really want to be doctors. We don't really want to diagnose and treat mental, emotional, psychological disorders.
Right.
But, you know, we don't know any better. So in the past, you know, 20 years or so, coaching emerged as a distinct helping profession of its own. It is completely personal growth oriented, goal oriented, action oriented. And so it's really more suitable for somebody who, you know, has a goal and they want support to achieve the goal. You know, whether it's, you know, getting a great job, or it's finding a great relationship, or it's improving the relationship they have. You know, we all have goals that are important to us. You know, we all want to be happy and what would make us happy. So
right.
That's what a coach does. A coach helps you accomplish your most important goal, and a therapist
right.
basically is trained to, fix problems and diagnose and treat mental, emotional, psychological disorders.
Right. And the reason why I wanted you to define that is because marriage is a natural part of life. Well, for a lot of people, it's a desired goal. It's a relationship with another human being. It isn't anything that is necessarily a psychological trauma, although it can be. But for the most part, it's a you and I are trying to keep it from being that. But it's not a mental disorder, and this is what a lot of people don't understand about. You know, when they call me up and they ask me if I take insurance, I go, well, no, I'm an out-of-network provider, because most of what people come across in marriage doesn't qualify as a mental disorder. Problems communicating, growing apart, those are almost like behavioral choices as opposed to some kind of physical illness.
Right, but, you know, therapists will definitely look at a marriage or a relationship through the lens of a therapist. And
right.
they look for what's wrong and why is it wrong and where did this originate from and how do they fix it. So it tends
right.
to be oriented towards the past. And it tends to be, you know, very, very problem-oriented. And, you
right.
know, in coaching, there's a very interesting principle that, you know, we call it the law of attraction. And, you know, the principle is what you put your energy into or what you pay more attention to grows. And
exactly.
So if you attend to, you know, the problems, they're going to grow. If you attend to solutions or, you know, goals or getting to the next level and wherever it is you want to go, you know, that grows. So, you know,
it's interesting.
Choose where we put our energy and attention and what lens we're looking through. And the lens of a therapist is definitely different than the lens of a coach.
Right. And it's interesting that you talk about that difference, because I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she was talking about how she had come across an author whose name I can't remember right off the top of my head, who basically helped her to see just what you're talking about, that overall her relationship with her husband was really good. But there were a few areas where they could stand some improvement. And when she was reading this book, she realized those are just tweaks we need to make, and they're small. They're not these big, huge, you know, horrible things that she had conjured up in her head when she was contemplating ending the marriage. And I'm going, yes, this is fantastic. Because you're right, what we focus on is what we see, and it really kind of changes the lens. Like, you know, if somebody does something that hurts you, well, they suddenly become a bad person. No, they just did something you didn't like, and you got to figure out how to address it.
Or even understanding why they said or did something that hurt you.
Right.
That doesn't change anything.
But
the more attention you give to it, the bigger the problem becomes.
Well, and then, of course, we start telling ourselves stories about why somebody did something. You know, they don't love us or whatever. And it's like, we never bothered to ask them, what was that about? And it's like, oh, I didn't even realize that would hurt you, because that's what, you know, I've done all my life, and I didn't realize it was harmful. And now that I do, I'll stop.
Right. And, you know, it's no wonder people get discouraged
mm-hmm.
and frustrated and lose hope. And so, you know, my mission and message is really about bringing inspiration and hope and possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm excited about today's program, because, you know, it's not just about happily ever after to me. Because here's what happily ever after means to me. It's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
if you are in a situation that you're not totally happy with, you have an idea of what would make you happy. Say, okay, well, when I get there, then I'm going to be happy. And so
right.
when it comes to marriage or relationships, it's like, okay, when I find the relationship, when I find the person
when I find the right one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when I get married, and then when we have a good relationship, then I'll be living happily ever after. Well, you know, to me, that's just where it starts.
Hence the name of my program.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's the beginning of it. And I do want to ask you a question, because while we're talking about happy, you talk about happiness in the discussion about your new book. You talk about happiness versus fulfillment. So can you kind of talk about what you mean, the difference between those two?
Sure. You know, they're both wonderful. I mean, we want to be happy mm-hmm. and we want to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with either one, and we deserve both of them. And happiness is, you know, in the present. It is transient. You know, it's very changeable. It can last a nanosecond. And, you know, we're in a state of happiness when our needs are met and we're feeling content and all is right with the world. And, and how often does that happen? How often do all the stars align to where things are exactly the way we want them to be? You know, sometimes it happens, but, you know, it's transient.
Right.
So happiness is definitely something we need to define for ourselves and strive for. However, mm-hmm. fulfillment is a bit of a bigger picture, and it includes, you know, spirituality, and it includes having a higher meaning for our life. And, it includes more than just, you know, in the moment, you know, happiness. So, mm-hmm. for example, you can be in a relationship where you are frustrated with your partner and you're not very happy with them right now.
Mm-hmm.
However, in your life and in your relationship with this person, it is a fulfilling relationship and life with them.
Right.
However, right now you want to strangle them.
Well, right, and then, but that's what people need to understand. I think is that's all normal. I mean, my husband and I have been together as I've said to told my audience many times. We're coming up on year 29 of marriage. Now, in all those 29 years, actually 30, we've been together. Have I adored everything he's done? Has he adored everything I've done? No. But overall, it's been good.
Yeah, and that's really what matters. And you know, when all is said and done, if you know, can you answer the question? You know, would you do it all over again? Would you marry the same person?
And I think that's a great question. And part of the time is you know, what's the frame of mind anybody happens to be in when they get asked that particular question? Because if you know, if your partner's just done something that really annoys you, and in the spur of the moment you go, yeah, no, I wouldn't do it. But if you actually take a step back and go, yeah, no, I'm annoyed with them right now, but overall, yeah, I would do it again. I think that's a great question. So could you talk about what you mean when you talk about this new idea called radical marriage?
Well, you know, I think you touched on it that, you know, the state of marriage today is in trouble. You know, it's not just the divorce rate. It's that, you know, way fewer
people aren't getting married.
Mm-hmm. You know, the marriage rate, you know, was in, you know, 20 years ago around, you know, 85%. And now it's around 51%.
Mm-hmm.
And the cohabitation rate, though, has skyrocketed by over 1,000% in the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the trend is very, very clear. We're living together. We don't really think marriage is necessary. In fact, you know, there's been surveys of people's attitude towards marriage. And about half of young people in their 20s,
mm-hmm.
you know, people under 30, surveyed, believe that marriage is obsolete. You don't need to be married. And close to that, more like 40% of all adults surveyed, you know, believe that marriage is or is becoming obsolete. And so
yeah,
You know, my take on that is that marriage as it is today, marriage as we currently experience it, who wants it? You have a high risk of failure. You give up your freedom, and you trade having an exciting life and having fun and doing your own thing for what? For security. And
right.
So people believe, they think of marriage as something that you have to sacrifice in order to achieve.
Right.
And,
so
and
if that's
there's a high risk of failure if you do.
But here's the question. Is that a reality or is that just a perception?
Well,
we have to give up who we are.
Is the reality that if that's how you see things and that's how you're going to experience them.
Okay, that's fair. So when you talk about radical marriage, what are you talking about? What's radical about your proposal for marriage?
Well, couples don't want boring. They don't want routine. They don't want the same old thing. They don't mm-hmm. want, you know, something that has a high risk of failure. And so, but they do want to be married, right? We value marriage, and marriage is important to us, and most of us do want to be married, but there needs to be a next evolution of marriage. So I don't believe that marriage is becoming obsolete or will disappear. I don't believe that 51% is going to go down to zero.
Right.
But all the signs are pointing to the need for a next evolution of marriage. And so what I've done is taken the research around commitment, around what works in marriage, and in coaching, what works to have a great, successful life and achieve fulfillment, and I put that into what I call radical marriage. So having the kind of marriage where you experience life as your greatest adventure, that you can achieve so much more with this love of your life by your side than you could possibly on your own. And that you have the kind of love, the kind of sex, the kind of fulfillment, you know, the kind of life, you know, that you totally, totally love, and you're doing it as a team, you know, with your partner.
You okay.
Know, so radical that sounds... marriage is really, you know, pushing the envelope and achieving together what you could not on your own.
Okay, and that sounds really exciting, and so just hang on a minute because I just want to remind my listeners that you're listening to Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with David Steele. He's the relationship coach and author about a new approach to marriage. Okay, so David, I'm sitting there. I'm sitting in my car listening to this show. I'm sitting in my house. I'm sitting wherever, and I'm going, okay, that sounds great. But what the heck is he talking about? How is this even possible? Because, you know, I got to pick up the kids from school, and then I have to run by the grocery store, and, you know, we have to, you know, go to grandma's house on Sunday, and I'm leaving for a work trip on Tuesday. Where's all this excitement going to come in?
Well, that is where radical – that's the model of radical marriage. And it starts with radical commitment. And mm-hmm. radical commitment, the foundation of radical commitment is five promises of radical commitment. And these are promises that we make to our partner, and we work like heck to keep those promises. So, uh-huh. for example, the very first promise is, I promise to choose you first. And so regardless of how
my partner, not my child.
I
want to clarify something. I'm promising to choose my partner, not my child, first.
Correct.
Okay, just want to clarify that.
And so regardless of what's going on in your life, whether it's work, whether it's, you know, taking care of an elderly parent, whether it's kids, you know, there's a lot of commitments and responsibilities that we have as adults. But we are best served when we are a team with our partner.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, radical marriage is about we can accomplish so much more as a team together than we can on our own.
Right.
And so really, you know, it's about teamwork, and we can't have a team, you know, there's no I in team, and we can't have a team if we are not choosing our partner first. And so part of the challenge of a lot of marriages is that, you know, what's the biggest complaint of couples when they go seek help? It's communication.
Right.
And so that is, you know, another chapter in radical marriage, which is about radical communication. And you do need radical communication to be, you know, a good team. So the five promises of radical marriage, you know, starts with, I promise to choose you first. That's what allows you to be, you know, a great parent, to balance work and home, you know, to do mm-hmm. the things that really seem impossible because you're not doing it on your own. You have a strong partnership.
Right. I talk about marriage being you plus. You plus this other person create this third, bigger commitment relationship that we're both supporting. So, yeah, I get that commitment piece about choosing. I'm almost saying it's like you're choosing the relationship, not necessarily the partner, but you're choosing the relationship, which I think is just kind of a slight twist on what you're saying.
Yeah, another promise of radical commitment is, you know, I promise to love you every day. And, you know, for some folks this is challenging because, you know, if we're mad at our partner, you know, then we feel like we don't feel close to them and we don't want to be close to them. But this radical commitment and the promise of I promise to love you every day is I promise to love you as you are. I promise to love you even when I'm mad at you.
Well, and I think that right there is an important piece, that just because I'm mad at you doesn't mean I'm incapable of loving you. I may not like you very much right now. I may not like what you're doing, but I can still choose to love you as a person.
Right. And also, you know, it is radical to love your partner as they are. I mean, think about it. 100% as they are. Accept your partner exactly as they are. Not want them to change, not wish they were different, not try to nag them or work on them to be any different. You know, and for a lot of folks, this is where they stop and say, well, I can't do that. You know?
So do you have any suggestions about how somebody can do that? Because I agree with you. I mean, and what I tell the people I work with, it's okay to make requests for changes in behavior, knowing full well that your partner can always say no to that request. But for me, that's different than either expecting or requiring them to change. So I think I'm just a little bit different. But can you talk about how somebody could actually get to being able to accept their partner for who they are?
Sure. I do think it starts with the simple understanding and awareness that, man, I've been putting a lot of energy into resisting accepting my partner for who they are and trying to get them to be different. And when you realize how much that cost you, how much disconnection, how, you know, you're not happy with your marriage or your partner if you do that. And if you choose to accept your partner as you are, as they are, and it is a choice.
Right.
You know, and you can do it simply by choosing it. And then, you can be more appreciative. You can be in gratitude. You can acknowledge, you know, value for who they are, rather than, you know, always be in touch with how you wish they were different. So that's probably the top two tips I would have for that is, number one, be aware of the benefits of doing it and the cost of not doing it, and simply choose it.
Well, and it's interesting that you talk about that, because to me what you're talking about is the whole concept of unconditional love, which everybody says they want. But here's the deal. My argument is they want to receive unconditional love. They want to be loved, you know, for who they are. It's the challenge of loving somebody else unconditionally that's the problem. And I think you highlighted that perfectly.
Right. Well, I'm gonna go out there on a limb, and I'm gonna share one of the hallmarks of radical marriage that is also very, very hard for some folks to embrace. And this is prioritizing your partner's happiness.
Ooh.
And too many of us are. I'm gonna be brutally honest here. Too many of us are self-centered. Selfish, it's all about me, I want my needs met, what are you going to do for me, why aren't you doing it? It's not mature. And so prioritizing your partner's happiness means that you love them for who they are, you want them to be happy, and of course you want them to focus on your needs and your happiness as well. And remember that thing about teamwork. If you have a strong partnership, imagine your partner prioritizing your happiness. Wouldn't you want that?
Well, and I love your emphasis on the word team, because that's I wrote a blog post years ago called Marriage is the Ultimate Team Sport.
I love that.
You know, because you're really right, because my viewpoint is if the relationship is succeeding, I'm going to be succeeding, because the relationship can't succeed without me succeeding along with it, without my partner succeeding along with it. And, you know, I always liken it, right now we're in the middle of March Madness, and, you know, you look at these teams who individually, the players aren't that great, and there's like another team maybe that has like the hot shot players. But when you put the first team together and they work together, they're unstoppable because they're a team.
Right.
Not because they're counting on this one person to carry the load, that if that person's having an off day, heck darn, we're out of the tournament, you know.
Right. So, you know, in a couple relationship, of course we want our partner to make us happy and we want them to prioritize our happiness, but we have to do that for them too.
Uh-huh.
When you're both doing it for each other, then you have a strong partnership, you know.
Exactly.
And who wouldn't want that? But it is,
well,
it is
okay,
amazing,
but it's not happening. So why do you think that people? I mean, I know you said maturity, and so what does it mean? Because for me, being a grown up, you know, means putting somebody else's needs ahead of my wants. But I don't know how you would define maturity, and you know, because you know, why if. If it works so well, why aren't we doing it?
One word, and it's huge. It's fear.
Okay.
That we are afraid that if we're not looking out for our own needs, if we're not somehow manipulating our partner and putting effort into them getting us to meet our needs, then our needs won't be met. We're scared.
Uh-huh.
And so,
it sounds like we don't really trust our partners.
We don't trust our partner. We don't trust ourselves. We don't trust the universe. You know, certainly there's a trust issue there somewhere. If we were absolutely, totally trusting that our needs would be met, then we could relax and we could be there for our partner and we could be happy and fulfilled so much easier in our life. To the extent that we're not trusting is the extent that we have to, you know, worry about it or put extra effort into getting our needs met. And so that's probably the biggest obstacle to prioritizing your partner's happiness is the fear that if you do so, then your needs won't be met.
Okay, which I hear. And again, that goes back to both of you making the commitment. And, you know, it's funny because if you just take the traditional marriage vows, just, you know, and it's, I promise to love, honor, and cherish you until death, not I promise to love, honor, and cherish you as long as you do it for me. But I think that's the mindset that people get into.
Right. And I hope you're getting the impression that, you know, this takes effort. This is not automatic. That
mm-hmm.
the automatic default is generally atrophy, meaning things kind of go downhill unless you put effort into it.
Right.
So radical marriage is not easy, but the payoff is huge. It's wonderful, but it does require effort.
And I'm so glad you used the word effort instead of work, because when we first get together with our partners, it takes effort to coordinate schedules and to learn what they like, but it's joyous effort. It's hopeful effort, not, oh my God, it's drudgery and, oh, we have to go out for a date night and, you know, oh, I have to spend time with my partner kind of attitude that somehow we fall into after many years.
Yeah, and so, you know, a lot of the effort is actually very, very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it involves spending time together, it involves talking, it involves making plans together. And, you know, there's two viewpoints, there's two ways to look at this. You know, one is problem solving. You know, okay,
mm-hmm.
we got a problem, you know, how are we going to fix it? The other is, you know, possibility and vision and creating what it is you want for your life. Okay,
mm-hmm.
well, we want to have enough time to have daily sex, but we have
right.
two young kids. How are we going to do that? And
right.
So, you know, believing it can be possible and looking for ways to make it work is actually fun and creative, and, you know, you're working towards making something happen that you want to have happen rather
uh-huh.
than solve a problem. which is, we're married, we got two young kids, we don't have time for each other anymore. Oh, well, we can't do anything about that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I read a book many, many years ago, probably 3 years ago, called 168 Hours, and that's basically how much time we all have in any given week. And one of the points of the book which stuck with me was, we tell people what our priorities are by how we spend our time. And I've had a lot of people come in and tell me, well, my marriage is important. And then when we start knocking out their, you know, we start laying out their time, you know, we realize by how they're spending their time, they're not supporting that statement that their marriage is important to them.
Right. And you know, part of the value of putting it together in a book, you know, Radical Marriage, is that we can highlight the different elements of radical marriage. So certainly there's radical communication,
mm-hmm.
there's radical commitment,
mm-hmm.
there's radical intimacy, there's
mm-hmm.
radical romance, there's
radical
sex, there's radical living in terms of having a radical life together. And
right.
So what does that look like and how do you do it? And what are some of the strategies for accomplishing it? You know, putting that all together in a book, and I love it when couples read the book together
mm-hmm.
and, you know, have the kind of conversations that I really want them to have, which is, this is cool. I want to accomplish this. You know, I said before, and I'll say it again, daily sex.
Which all my male listeners are going, woohoo! And I don't know if you can hear my husband, but he's woohooing too.
And so, you know, having the conversation about, you know, do I want daily sex? Is it possible
mm-hmm.
for us to have daily sex? Can we enjoy sex if we have it every day? Well, you know, daily sex does not have to involve intercourse.
Right.
It doesn't have to involve doing something because you're forcing yourself to do it.
Right.
You know, it's not like when you're trying to get pregnant and say, okay, now we got to have sex because, you know, we got to get pregnant.
Right. We have this goal, right. Mm-hmm.
We have to have it right now. You know, when you look at your sexual intimacy and the possibilities for sexual intimacy every day,
uh-huh.
you know, then your emotional connection, your physical connection becomes so much more exciting and fulfilling. And you realize it doesn't take a lot of time. That you can be, you know, you can have two young kids in the house and
right,
have
and still
daily
do this.
Sex.
Right.
You have to open up your mind to the possibility, and you have to, you know, there are definite strategies that, you know, my wife and I have developed over time, you know, for making these kinds of things happen. So.
Okay. Now, so are those strategies in the book?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, because.
We don't hold anything back. It's all there.
Okay, so where can my listeners find you and this book?
Well, Amazon.com, of course, and
mm-hmm.
The website for the book is radicalmarriage.com.
Okay, so that's simple enough. And you and I could be talking about this for a long time because I love this idea. But what I'm really hearing is. And I believe this, is that it is possible to be successfully married and to live your life in a way that's satisfying to you. And it's not an either-or situation. It's a both-and. And that if you want this, you can get it. It's really possible. But what I'm hearing from you, David, is that it requires a commitment to getting it. Have I got that right?
Well, yeah, and it's not just, you know, the global vague word commitment. It's a
right.
certain kind of commitment. And
okay.
we talked about some elements of that commitment today in terms of, you know, prioritizing
okay.
your partner's happiness and, you know, promising to love them every day, you know, and really showing up for the relationship and prioritizing it. You know, that's how you express your commitment. You know, it's
right.
not just a word, and of course, commitment.
It's actually in actions. You have to follow through on that. Just like if we're committed to our job, we show up every day. If we're committed to our marriage, we show up every day.
Right, exactly. And I tell you, the thing that I've been surprised by the impact of Radical Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife and I, we wrote the book for couples. couples who had an okay relationship and wanted to be great, want to get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that surprised me is how it inspires singles. Singles read the book and say, wow, I want a marriage like that. And
yeah.
It helps them, you know, find a partner that's compatible with that, because then they have a clear idea of what
right.
they
and
want
they
their
can,
committed relationship to be like.
And they can build that from day one.
Yeah. And then the other surprising thing is how it inspired older couples. I mean, couples like you who have been, you know, together
right.
with their partner for 30 years or more, how it lit a fire under their relationship, how, you know, they got inspired to, you know, yeah, we want a radical marriage. You know, they've been
right.
kind of resigning themselves to this is the best it can get.
Right. And so what you're doing is
there's a whole other level they can get to, and they get excited about that.
Yeah.
That, to me, is just the best.
Okay. So, David, I want to thank you for giving that inspiration, and listeners, take David's word for it. It is not too late to have the marriage that you want. And so keep listening to this program. Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net with me, Leslie Dorries. And keep listening, keep following the advice of my guests. David's got this great book out. You need to go get it right now and create your marriage that you really want. And until next week, stay loving.